Hi there, and welcome to Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. This is Empower Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Whatever you're doing, hope you're having a great day, a great life as it goes. It's one of those things where we all have a brief moment in time to experience this incredible, incredible reality. And so make the most of it wherever you are. I do have an interesting guest today. I wanted to get into a topic that I think a lot of us are hearing more about. It's becoming easier to share experiences, or at least thoughts and ideas about extraterrestrial contact, UFOs, other lives and life forms, and the potential we all have to become more aware and more conscious of our creation abilities. Are we getting help from somebody else, from some other being, some other life form? You know, there's no, I believe, real answer. It's the answer we are creating in the moment. And the more we learn, the more we expand our awareness to discover there's a whole lot of stuff right now that we are tapping into that we've never, ever had the ability to even fathom because we didn't believe it was real. And nobody in our environment, in our close social contact, told us about it. So it didn't exist. Okay, well, let's try something different. Expand the horizon. Talk to people who are having these incredible experiences and see what they believe. And then you adjust yourself accordingly. It's all up to you in the end. What you believe is what you believe. All right. But I wanted to talk with Michael Horn because he does such a fabulous job of presenting the Billy Meyer material. And he's got a title, Authorized American Media Representative for Billy Meyer. So instead of me explaining who and what Billy Meyer is, I'm going to let Michael do that. And he also provided me with, a wonderful tape, a presentation of, and did they listen? So Michael, I really appreciate you doing what you're doing because you're giving people a really nice background and a way to be introduced to a subject they might never have had the ability to, you know, to get a really nice, well-grounded background on. And you're doing that. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Wendy. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to your audience as well.
What can you do? Let's start first. How did you find out about Billy Meyer?
Well, in 1979, I was living in Los Angeles, and I walked into a bookstore there that had, staring me in the face, so to speak, a coffee table-sized photo book of the clearest, most startlingly real looking UFOs that I'd ever seen. We're going back now some 35 years. And I looked at it and right away on an intuitive level, I knew it was real and true. Now, I trust my intuition a lot, but I also, you know, have a kind of left brain that required me to really delve into this. And I'm glad I did because I not only found out that my intuition was right, but I found out an awful lot of other stuff in the process. So I got that book, pardon me, and I read and looked at the photos, you know, just ate it up. There wasn't much more I could do at the time. I didn't have any access, didn't know anything about any more information. Of course, this was pre-internet, as of course most all of Meyer's photos, also pre-internet, pre-computer, what have you. So it wasn't until several years later, in 1986, that I was in a little cafe in a place called Sedona, Arizona, with my daughter and a friend of mine, and the three of us were sitting there, and there was one other guy in this little cafe. We were waiting for our avocado and sprout sandwiches, which in the beginning of the New Age took an awful lot of time to manifest. And, you know, they were growing everything, I'm sure, custom to order. We invited this guy to come over and sit and talk to us, and he and I started to speak, you know, actually my lady friend as well. About UFOs, one thing led to another, and I mentioned having the photo book, and he said, well, have you read the contact reports? I said, well, what's that? He said, well, those are all the conversations that this man, Billy Meyer, has had during a three-year period with these extraterrestrials. And I said, no, I didn't know anything about it. He says, well, I'm from L.A., too. When you get back, come up, you know, visit me, and I'm going to give you that stuff. So I did, he did, and I ended up with 1,800 at the time, mimeographed pages in not the best of English, kind of German English, where everything was rearranging sentences, but it was the most fascinating information spanning about a three-year period during, let's say 75 to 78 or so, during which time this man, Billy Meyer, was having conversations with a couple of different people who, were the people who were flying the craft in the photo book. And the conversations were of two categories to me, fascinating and boring. And it was the boring conversations that would later also make me realize how authentic everything was, because they were very mundane. Instead of all of the scientific and different information that was being exchanged, prophecies and predictions and everything else, in some of the really, juicy stuff, there were pages and pages of things that pertained only to this man and a group of people that were forming around him and what they had to do to disseminate the information and the group dynamics and then the infight. I mean, the kind of stuff that was so down to earth, so mundane and so boring that you knew that this guy couldn't be, sitting around thinking he's going to capture anybody's attention with some kind of a hoax by, laying all this stuff out. Now, I should add that in the years that have, ensued, I've had a chance to go to Switzerland 14 times. I've spent time every time with Meyer, family members, some of the very people talked about in these contacts that were in these group dynamics. I've talked to witnesses to 14 of the 22 attempts in his life. I've had some of my own experiences in other places, that were subjective, and I don't base the authenticity of the case on it, but I've been able to prove to my satisfaction and to the satisfaction of some very scientifically minded people and even skeptical people that the case is true. And I did that through not just my own work, but utilizing the body of work done by the original investigators and on and on. So that's a little bit of background, and I'm glad to, address any parts of it you'd like.
Well, let's start first with what were you doing at the time when this thing pretty much took over your life? Because what were the assets that you brought to the table?
Actually, very few, because my background had nothing whatsoever to do with research and anything scientific. At that point in my life, 1979, I am a single father raising my, at that point, 4-year-old daughter by myself. My background, I have been an artist, painter, singer, songwriter, inventor. I'm the person who invented the still ongoing fashion fad of fingernail art. And I was, that's me. And I've been into various health, movement, martial arts, different things like that. I've appeared in two issues of the Inside Kung Fu Martial Arts magazine, doing a kind of unusual exercise that not a lot of people can do. And I have a video, a little YouTube video on that up there. And, stuff that had nothing to do with research, science, investigation, and reorienting my very left brain mind towards logic, research, systems, the kind of thinking that I would have to develop that would be necessary to create something where there was, credibility for me, as well as the credibility that I was seeking to determine about the Meyer case. So when I say that I've interacted with people, scientists, there are a couple people with top secret, clearances. One who first came at me trying to give me a hard time. It took 5 minutes to, explain a few things to him that he knew constituted high level of credibility. That argument was over. The other guy with a top secret clearance was joined me on a stage of a presentation in Los Angeles a number of years ago. He was an astrophysicist who highly regarded, McDonnell Douglas, top secret security clearance, and he was someone who authenticated the information in the Meyer case. He was astounded that Meyer had published information on hyperspace propulsion, above light speed travel that was within 20% of what he and a group of scientists were coming up with theoretically. And he said, look, if this is a hoax, this guy's being advised by some extremely knowledgeable, scientifically knowledgeable people. This is nothing to laugh at. And he joined me on stage at the Biltmore Hotel, and he told the audience there, he says, you know, I work with these scientists. We think we've made breakthroughs in our understanding of above light speed travel and zero point energy from Mr. Meyer and his work. And that's all I want to say about it. And now I have an aerospace engineer who has worked, you know, for NASA. Heck, he worked on the International Space Shuttle, Space Station, the Space Shuttle. He's worked for Boeing, Rockwell, all the rest of these places. And he's now endorsed the singular authenticity of the Meyer case and will join me in making live presentations on it. He, too, has over 35 years of research into the case. He thought it initially was a hoax. Retired physician physicist who I've known for over 50 years myself, who thought I was nuts to be into this stuff when I met up with him again after a long period of not being in touch, has now come out and endorsed Meyer for his prophetic information on Russian troop movements. I mean, very unusual things happen here with all of this kind of thing. And so because you asked, what did I bring to the table? I was a folk singer, folks. You know, I was singing in coffee houses in Chicago and New York City, San Francisco and Los Angeles. And I had a period of time living on the streets and, just nothing that would have, except for my fascination from an early age with space stuff. I had self-produced the record in New York in like 1967 that A&M picked up and put out as a little single called Captain Tim. It was about space heroes of the 40s and 50s that I was, you know, catching on radio and TV. So, nah, I didn't have any background. And it was only by and through reading and studying Meyer's information and his teaching on thinking that I simultaneously, while I'm researching, I'm learning how to think. And, I presented information, as you know from the film, to a judge, a retired judge. It took me all of 5 minutes for him to give me the nod over NASA on, you know, I'm basically on proving the case is authentic. And that can be done in that short a period of time. But most of the time, people, you know, want to and should take their time to go through things, because here, you know, let me summarize my long-winded presentation here. If this is true, it is the single most important true story in all of human history, science and human history. Hands down, extraterrestrials meeting with a man for 72 years, and we don't know about it? No, come on. So that's kind of, you know, my little blip on the radar here.
Well, is it because it's in German? I mean, you know, is it because the Western world doesn't acknowledge anything that doesn't happen outside of the English language? I mean, I don't know. That maybe that's a
no,
bias.
No, because Meyer's information started to surface in English by about 1978. And the CIA has observed Meyer from the beginning. The investigators, Wendell Stevens, Lee and Britt Elders, who would go to Switzerland, and when they were going, starting in about 77, 78, they went anonymously. They never made reservations, air reservations or anything. And each time they flew in first to London on their way to Zurich, they were picked up by the CIA in and out each time. They were monitored closely. Meyer was monitored from as soon as this information hit in Europe. It started to become known in Europe before it did here. They set up an observation base right above, up the road, literally from where Meyer's property is. I've driven by that. It's an abandoned military base, and the CIA is no longer using it because all of the technology they have with satellites and everything else, as Billy said, they don't need to be there anymore. But he also once wistfully said to me, when I was asking him that about the CIA, he said, I don't know why they never just come and knock on the door. I talk to them and answer their questions. You know, so it had to be intrigue. And they took their own photos of the craft, too, by the way. That was revealed to one of the investigators. So they know. And this is, see, there's something going on right now as we speak in the last couple of days. And that is that I have written three or so articles of a number that I've written, but recent ones on MUFON, the UFO investigating organization that's been in business for 45 years and has refused to recognize, let alone investigate, the Meyer case. And I've called them out on this in some pretty plain speaking blogs here. And someone sent me some information that I was able to vet about the connection of the U.S. State Department and CIA to who funds investigations. And I will be receiving a phone call this afternoon from the director of MUFON, who wants to talk to me personally, which, of course, I'm happy to do. But you have to understand that this is the type of thing that, again, if it's true, they don't want you to know. That's why there is so much fluff in the world about alien this and alien that, everybody and their brother being abducted and deducted and redacted and what have you by aliens, none of which is happening, because this is to diffuse and disperse and distract from the single most important story in human history. And it is very pertinent to what's going on in every sphere of life for us. Every sphere.
Okay. I want to interject. So what do you think about the stories that, like, well, the one that John Mack investigated, that was with the children who saw and encountered a craft and beings. And this is in South Africa. Is that not relevant?
Here's what's happened. There have been a number, not an awful lot, but a number of legitimate sightings, there's lots of sightings of UFOs, not all of which are by any means extraterrestrial. There have been some sightings of extraterrestrial beings by people on Earth. Actually, some of that has gone on over history many times. But the problem is this, that what we call real contact with extraterrestrials is something that's very different. And also, you cannot, absolutely cannot, rule out manipulations, illusions, mind control things and all that, because not only does the CIA and other intelligence groups have craft of their own, they're not true interplanetary, but they have alternative craft. They also have some very sophisticated technologies. And there was a group based on the planet, an extraterrestrial group, very negative, humans, based deep underneath the area of the Giza Plateau, Great Pyramid, up until about 1979 when they were removed because they violated certain laws that allowed their removal. And they were manipulating people quite a bit. They were producing all sorts of visions and things such as the miracle at Fatima, which were holograms that were projected by them. But let's be clear, there are people that have certainly seen actual extraterrestrial craft, and a relative small number of people in the last 100 years have seen extraterrestrial beings. But seeing things and having phenomena occur is far down the ladder of significance because of the difficulties of proving. See, the difficulty that I had, among difficulties I've had with this, made me very much respect the scientific method and the criteria for evidence and for testing of evidence, because people, skeptics, scientists, all sorts of people would give me the hardest time about proving the authenticity of the case and the evidence. Fortunately, in the Meyer case, it's provable. It's as I say, it can take as little as 5 minutes. There's even recently authentication work that's been done by an independent professor in South America on 63 of Meyer's most controversial UFO photos and video. And he shows how he analyzed technologies. Anybody can do it. And he shows it's authentic. These are large craft. They're not models. There's no effects here. It's all before computers. So to answer that again, yes, there's all sorts of phenomena, and you personally know this, but the difficulty anybody has in taking it to the level of this is scientifically verifiable, authenticatable, and all the rest, is that's where the work comes in. And that's why I don't argue with people's subjective experiences. I have my own. I have information sent to me, verifiably, by the way. We have time date stamps sent to me by the Pleiaren through Meyer, turned out to be 100% accurate, prevented an ambush, a trap that I would have fallen into, which would have been very damaging to all concerned in this work. And they didn't do it because I'm some special person. They did it because it was going to damage Billy, this mission, me as someone working on it. And it would have set things back quite a ways had the person been successful in, in trapping us, and he wasn't. I was within 20 feet of one of their small craft in the mountains of Brazil where I lived there. But see, those two things, even though the first one is provable, it's documented, it's still anecdotal, and I only recently have, you know, spoken about it, but it's the hard science stuff here that is impeccable, and it's why the scientists now and the skeptics won't attack the case anymore, because if they come forward to attack, and I rebut, as I'm doing all the time, then they are hanging out there on a limb, and people are going, well, why didn't you? Why weren't you the one to, you know, prove this? So that's kind of, you know, where I'm at with that whole thing of other sightings and what have you.
I like the way the film is presented. The film is called And Did They Listen? And then we're talking with Michael Horn, who is very, very well-versed and, in, I think, compelling in his presentation in this film of the Billy Meyer information. And the thing I think, even though you say this anecdotal stuff and it's unprovable, I think that is incredibly necessary when we're dealing with this, because in my experience, these contacts don't happen on a huge, okay, here we are on the stage presenting our stuff. They happen when you're all alone, when you have no witnesses. If you're lucky, you may have a friend or two, but for the most part, it's a personal thing. And then each person has to figure out, is it authentic? Did it happen? Is it real? Am I crazy? They go through all this stuff, turning themselves inside out to see what happened to their reality, because it doesn't exist anymore the way they thought it did when this happens. Does that make sense?
Well, it does for what you're talking about. Like, you have subjective experiences. I have subjective experiences. And I know a number of people. I mean, I've had some pretty strange subjective experiences. And I go, okay, fine. But here's actually the difference, because in the Meyer case, the beauty of it is there are over 100 witnesses. In some cases, there's groups of people who've been with him and other photographers, including a Swiss skeptic who'd been sending him nasty letters attacking him, and who one day was out on his own fields in his own property doing some photography, and he accidentally photographed the player Aaron Kraft, and he sends Meyer a letter, dear sir, pardon me, you know, I've been a little harsh on you, and here's some photos, and you're telling the truth, can I come and visit? And Billy says, well, yes, of course.
Yeah,
Meyer
touche.
Doesn't take any, yeah, but he doesn't, he never does that to anybody. He's very neutral about that. He knows that people, you know, are going to have a hard time with this. And he knows, listen, one woman who tried to kill him point blank with a handgun later contacted him and said, listen, I'm the one who shot you. And I'm sorry. You know, he'd had a dream and protected himself based on information in his dream. He knew he was going to be shot the next day. And it happened. And he wasn't. And in one of our films, which you can watch for free on my website, he shows this agenda book and a metal plate that he put in there, and the dent in the plate after the bullet went through the pages. And he accepted this woman should come, and he says, well, yes, of course, you can come and let's speak. And he was very neutral towards it, because he knows she was extremely religious and she thought he was Satan or something, you know, crazy and all this stuff. But he knew, and he signed on for this gig. You know, Meyer is, I'll just throw this out before I say any more about witnesses, but Meyer's spirit form, if you will, has done this gig before. Yeah. And Meyer was mentored and taught in this lifetime from age 5 to prepare him for this mission and how brutal it was going to be, because his fellow human beings would not take kindly to having truth presented to them. And truth,
one of the worst things you can do is threaten somebody's reality, because they've already got it. It's nailed. It stays in place. It's secure. Undeniable. And then when somebody comes in and throws that askew, then it's very frightening and disempowering. And so I think that's the real threat here, is what Billy offers and what this kind of contact information is about, is encouraging people to reformat their hard drive and the way that they think and view reality, because it isn't what we have been taught. It's what we're now learning and exploring that changes everything that's basically been status quo for a long time.
Absolutely. The core of this material has been presented in our world 6 times before by 6 previous prophets. Meyer is a prophet. I mean, it's not a celebrity gig. It's not like this make him, oh, Mr. Special. It's not like, oh, therefore, and there's nobody to worship. This is the beauty of this whole thing. And if people delve into the Meyer material, and they can do it for free, you know, it's tons of material on my website, my blog, other sites linked. You can figure this out for yourself. You can say yes, no, whatever you like. But it's really here in a large sense, and I'll just put it out there, it's to combat the religious indoctrination of millennia that has misled people to a point where we have at least three major religions at this point on the planet that are going to are coming to a head with each other, and maybe a couple others that are going to kick in, and along with all the political delusion that goes on, we are in a place that is, it's far more serious than all the people even that are understanding that we don't have the truth themselves know. The purpose of these contacts to a high degree were to try to get us to help ourselves assure our own future survival. You know, Meyer published stuff on the NSA years before Snowden did. He's the first person to talk about climate change in 51, unnatural global warming in 58, all of the consequences of this environmental destruction that we've brought upon ourselves within a week of Fukushima. He already told all the information that we needed to know that this was already a super ultra worst possible case scenario, contaminating our seas, our air, our food chain, everything. This is all published for free on my website within a week of Fukushima, and we're still only getting, it's oozing out. The truth is oozing out, but they still are suppressing.
Okay. Hang on a second, because we're going to get into the next segment here. I want to get into the prophecy and the background and what he's being told. Where does that lead us? So hang in there. If you're listening,
sure.
We're talking again with Michael Horn, and the latest movie is And Did They Listen? All about Billy Meyer. All right. So getting into the prophecy stuff here from the ETs next on Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. This is Empower Radio.
Lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the inventnow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Ow.
Dude, what is
Ow.
This? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment, and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg!
Ha-ha! I win! Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
sassy. What about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Hi there, this is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. We're flying away here on Empower Radio. Flying high, low, in between, inside out, upside down. Basically, the topic today, the reason I'm getting into this is because there is so much happening and there's a lot of information and disinformation. It all comes down to how you create our reality. We tune into things that resonate, things that we are attracted to. And sometimes we have no idea that's happening. But when you become aware of your ability to consciously create, consciously draw, consciously engage information that will be helpful, you can upgrade your ability to bring things into being, into manifest form that are for the betterment, the good of all, the greater good. Okay, so that's what I'm trying to add to the equation, is bring material that's been around for a long time that's had people say, oh, that's just totally bogus. No, this can't be possible. This guy's a fraud, a hoax. And other people are saying, oh my gosh, this is real. All right. There are two sides. One is I believe. The other is I can't believe. All right. Those are the two sides I'm presenting. Okay. Yeah, there's millions. But that's the way I look at it, is that you have the power to determine for yourself whether it's authentic. And you should do that without anybody else giving you permission or telling you what to think. And that's what I wanted to get back into when Michael introduced that. He was learning how to think. That's really important. The ability to be able to determine, discern for yourself what is authentic and how that works. That's another show entirely. But getting into the information, the topic. You can get this film. You can also go to his website, theyfly.com, and check out the blog. All the information there about Billy Meyer and the background and Michael's background, the whole nine yards. Do that for yourself and then come back and say, all right, what do I believe? Michael, I really appreciate all the work you've done, and I know what it takes to step out of your comfort zone and start going into areas that most people are going to, you know, poo-poo and say, oh, you are really way out there on a limb. You know what? That's fine, because being out on the limb, you're where reality happens. You're where that creation happens, where the imagination is just bringing us to realms we couldn't go without stepping outside that little nice, neat, and tidy framework that everybody says is reality. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And if your listeners do want to go to my website, and if they order the DVD and they just, you know, put your name, Wendy, in the order, I'll send them another full-length DVD, another whole other production on this case for free. All they have to do is just put your name in there.
Cool. Yeah, you know, I wanted to get into this before we get into the next, the talking about the prophecies and stuff. You were mentioning earlier that it was hard to tell the real stuff from the other stuff because the technology is there, that we do have things that we're not talking about. One of those was today supposed to take flight in at NASA. They were supposed to get their little self. It was a flying saucer. That's what they call it. And it's been grounded, I don't know how many times, several times. So they grounded it again today. Today's Wednesday. And we're talking here June of, I should date this, June 2014. It was supposed to go off into space to do a trial to see if how it would land and if it would survive. They had to ground it because the weather was bad, so they're going to try it again for Saturday. But it's this is stuff that could be flying in our airspace, that we are getting legit sightings of UFOs, but they're not the other UFOs. They're ours. So that's confusing.
Well, yeah. Well, and the one that they're, if I'm right on this, the one that they're going to, this so-called flying saucer, is something, as you mentioned, like, you know, for landing, for coming into the atmosphere. It's not the type of craft by any means that we're talking about, which are using propulsion systems that are in, you know, not, what do you call it, not combustion-based and all of that. And at the highest level of the CIA, they have some of these craft. There are other groups on the planet. There are other secret military craft in different countries as well. And Meyer has been given that information, you know, and we've published about it. I think Russia, Canada, China, and France, even Great Britain, there are entities, by that I mean parties, groups, or whatever, are connected with those countries that have alternative craft that never are, you know, identified as such, and of course are developed for military purposes. So we're in, you know, this game that is played all over, you know, in our world of control and domination and intrigue. The problem with it is that many of the players, such as higher levels of CIA and others, even the Vatican, know the Meyer case is authentic. And by knowing it's authentic, that means they've read this material. They've, in some cases, have their own photos, or they've been able to vet this to their satisfaction. But the prophecies in the case foretell that should we not change this direction, of which all of these aforementioned parties have a contribution, influence, et cetera, we are going to have enormous destruction, and they are not spared by it either. This is why I'm pushing for people to check this out for themselves, become aware. If this is true, you need to make a little noise. You need to think. You need to decide for yourself and all that. So, yeah.
Okay, so the prophecies that he says, and this isn't, I'm not wanting to get into this for scare tactics or fear-based stuff. It's just, what is helpful about these prophecies?
Sure. There's two things here. There's prophecies and there's predictions. Prophecies mean events that are going to occur with pretty high certainty should we not change our personal and collective direction. Predictions are things that are written in stone, usually refer to the more cosmic events like a meteor or an asteroid or something coming through space that we don't influence or haven't been able to, you know, we didn't create it. Prophecies, if they're allowed to go past this point of no return, become predictions. So in our world, we have all sorts of prophets. We have weathermen, stock analysts, sportscasters, and engineers, physicists, architects, people who take known given information, project outcomes based on that information, and make their projections. Our terrestrial prophets vary in accuracy. And we even have people who do, so to speak, prophesy social trends, financial trends, as I mentioned, with varying degrees of accuracy. With the predictions from in the Meyer material, they have been unerringly accurate. The prophecies, unfortunately, have continued to be accurate because people are not changing the thoughts, feelings, and beliefs and actions necessary to change these things, to make positive outcomes. So this is based on the laws of cause and effect, which are immutable. In other words, everything in this universe, everything operates according to the laws of cause and effect. This thought leads to this feeling, leads to this thought, leads to this action, unless when we are observing our thoughts, we control them so that they lead to a preferred feeling, a preferred other thought, a preferred action.
Yeah.
So, this is the whole thing. The prophecies and predictions in this case, in some instances, in the Meyer case, are thousands of years old. They go back to the original prophets, such as Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, whose name was changed to Jesus Christ. There never was a person by that name. There's no historical record. And even Muhammad. This is the lineage that the Pleiaran extraterrestrials worked with. In every one of these prior cases, the prophecies, predictions, spiritual teaching was corrupted, changed, turned into religion, altered. We would be very surprised to find out that Muhammad, for instance, was not an abuser of women. He was a champion of women's rights in his time. But his cousin and the caliphs got a hold of the information, changed it, and instituted a lot of things that have been further radicalized and corrupted into extreme Islamism, or whatever you want to call it. This material, the Meyer case, goes back, in terms of our world, a good 10,000 years to, Prophet Enoch and stuff.
Well, the bombshell you delivered in there was that Jesus wasn't a real person.
That's correct. There was a man who lived the life upon which the person of Jesus Christ was based. In Isaiah 7:14, now you have to understand, you're talking to somebody, as I told you before. You know, I came to this as a creative guy. I'm a painter. I'm a folk singer and stuff. And I'm reading stuff when I get hold of the Meyer material in 86. And it's really bothering me. It's like, oh, my God, that can't be true. So what did I do? I went and for the first time in my life, I opened the Old Testament. I opened the New Testament. I started comparing notes. And it's putting me back on my butt. Because I find that in Isaiah 7:14, the prophet Isaiah says, "And his name shall be called Emmanuel." I find myself later on in the New Testament, with Matthew, I think it's 1:23, where he's talking about the birth of Jesus. It slips in, "And his name shall be called Emmanuel." Well, wait a minute, this is the name in the Meyer material. And then I read something that's published called the Talmud Emmanuel, the English translation of a document that Meyer co-discovered in 1964-65 with a man named Isa Rashid in an abandoned ancient tomb in Jerusalem. I mean, you pulled the thread on the Meyer case and you're into our history, into our religion. Who were these gods? They turned out to be real human beings and not the actual creators of the universe. Jesus Christ, a fictitious name. Yes, a man who indeed was a tremendous prophet of his time. He was crucified. He survived it. He and his close family members and a couple of his disciples. By the way, there were 17 female disciples. You never will hear about it in the New Testament because the church ripped all of this truth out of it. So you wouldn't know the importance of women. And that this man, Emmanuel, survived the crucifixion with the help of some healers from India, from whom he had also studied. I mean, this is, you have a
few. Yeah, I know. This is too much for one show. This is too much for one show. But that's the whole thing. You've got this stuff on your website. You've published tons of information. Wow. So if you're listening and you're curious, this isn't just a one-shot wonder. There's a lot of information you can go into and get more details. But that's an overview. Okay. So let's just go ahead and digress back into what I was talking about before, the prophecies and why, how does he get them? What is this contact with the prophecies like?
Yeah, there's a couple ways. Speak of the way he gets them from the Pleiaren people, and then I'll speak about how he does it, because Meyer's a prophet in his own right. Okay. Yeah, he will get, he'll have conversations with the Pleiaren, and what I call prophetically accurate scientific information is either revealed or shown to him at various times in these conversations while on board their ships, usually, where they will tell him about certain things that will occur, and or they will show him things that he, writes down and publishes that we don't know about yet scientifically. That's how that information. Now, in the case of what are called the Henoch prophecies or the prophecies of Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah and Jeremiah, they gave him those prophecies in German. In other words, they took them from the original language, which was Aramaic in many cases, and they they translated them. Of course, they have them in their own languages, but they relayed it to him in German so that he, in the language of the day, if you will, in German, for them, because he speaks German and they think it's a very excellent language for communicating subtleties of meaning and information. And then that information, would be published in German. Some people then will translate into English or other languages. The other way is within their own worlds, they have people who are highly clairvoyant. You're talking about people who are thousands of years ahead of us technologically and probably literally millions spiritually. They also have their own computers that are, again, probably 8,000 years again ahead of us exponentially scientifically. They can calculate these things out and, reveal information as calculations through computers. And they also have access on certain occasions to time travel. Now, Meyer himself has been taken forward and back in time, and he's reported on some of those things, including the coming San Francisco earthquake. No date given, but very interesting, and we can go into that if you want, but I want to just give you the other info here. Meyer himself was taught from an early age they activated his very latent abilities that he still had to develop on his own as a prophet, because his spirit form that has incarnated those six previous prophets is very ancient, but in every life, every human being has to re-educate. He got a real boost because they said, okay, you know, little Edward here, 5, 6, 7 years old, here's the gig, and any time in life you don't want to go forward, you can back off, but here's who you were, and here's what we're going to make available to you. So he knows also mathematically, Kabbalistically, how to calculate prophets, and he has another ability. He can go with his consciousness spiritually into what's called the storage banks. We sometimes call it the Akashic Records. It's different than what we're told about the so-called Akashic Records. He can go into the storage banks and get information that is not available to virtually anybody else on Earth, because no one else on Earth can go that way. There are several other people basically hidden from public eye on Earth who have pretty good abilities for getting that type of information to a degree, but not to the degree that Meyer is able to do it. So I want to give a after-the-fact caveat. This is information according to the case. I cannot prove that. I can only explain to you this is what's told. What is more important is if we go to the, let's say, the prophecies and predictions, and then search out, as we've done, and we've done a lot of it for you, but you can keep doing it, you should, and find out how accurate has this been. You know, and can we prove that Meyer did publish it beforehand? There's two current developments underway that Meyer warned about some time ago. The Pleiaron told him that the forecast for Iraq was a Shiite dictatorship. Now, I'm going to jump a little ahead here because I'm going to presume something, and I may be wrong, that if Al-Qaeda is connected to the Shiites or not. But what's going on now in Iraq with this new wave of extreme terrorism and stuff just in the last few days, it looks like, you know, Al-Qaeda and extremist, you know, Islamic groups are going to affect that dictatorship, number one. Meyer warned significantly long ago about the dangers of illegal immigration, what it does to host countries, what it does to the people that come in illegally, and how there's a false humaneness involved, which actually ends up being harmful to all parties. It's a terribly irresponsible thing for people to leave their home country just to seek economic benefit rather than straightening things out in their own country. And at the heart of this is a buzzword that will drive a lot of people nuts. This is the core of our problems on Earth. It's called overpopulation. And virtually every single thing that we are battling against now and that we will battle against from pesticides and bees dying off to food shortages and environmental stuff is due to the fact that we've let our population run away rampantly. And this is not about genocide and the elites and all the nonsense. This is about biology and science, and we are paying the price on every level. You bring up any problem, and I'll show you how you can take it right down to overpopulation.
Okay. Now we're running out of time here. We're real short.
Yeah.
So, and you gave that little tease about the earthquake. I wish we could get into more, but okay, go back. And what was the tease about the San Francisco earthquake,
yeah,
the one that's coming?
Sure. This is important. In 1978, Billy Meyer was involved with presenting information to these investigators in Switzerland who had come from America. And on one occasion in the kitchen where most of all this communication is done with visitors and everything else, some of the Swiss were there, Meyer was there, the investigators. He mentioned something about the San Francisco earthquake, and people are looking around, you mean 1906? He says, no. Left the room, came back with one of those little yellow Kodak envelopes, took out 11 photographs and put them on the table. 11 photographs. They were photographs of San Francisco in chaos, smoke, fire, buildings toppled, destruction, Transamerica building, pyramidal top part of it on the ground, cracked through, blah, blah, blah. And the investigators are looking at this, and he won't say when this is happening. He says, the Pleiaron took me to the future. I photographed it. This will happen. And so Wendell Stevens, lead military guy, was very sharp. He said, so what we did, we looked at the photos and we zeroed in on the cars on the street. Now, this is from 1978. He said, we noticed the cars looked different than the cars of today. Most of them were much rounder. The windshields were larger, and a lot of them swept more upwards into the roof. And some of them, indeed, extended into the roof line. There was an absence of external projections, meaning side view mirrors. Now, so what are we told? Rounder-shaped cars, more glass in the windshield. Some of the cars have glass tops, and there's no side view mirrors. Those concept
cars. Oh, boy. I'm looking at the Kia.
Yes. You're looking at the Tesla. You're looking at the Prius. You're looking at all these things and the ones that are coming. We already have cars now with the cameras for backup technology.
Yeah.
The new concept cars don't have the side view mirrors. Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. You know, this is going to, you know, there is a 9.0 that's going to hit the Northwest. Meyer published that information, I think it was 2005. A 9.0 will run for 5 minutes. The player and told him this. They said it's going to produce a tsunami that's going to go rushing inland, another earthquake, another tsunami, massive. 5 minutes at 9.0? Seaquake? Give me a break.
Okay, so, well, these are natural catastrophes, though. This isn't something that, this is part of the planetary, like the shifting of the tectonic plates, is it?
Yes, we could say that. Both kinds of events occurred. Now, Meyer was warned in 76 that we're going to have, and he already had published this himself in the 50s, we're going to have an increase in earthquakes and volcanic activity that's largely tied to our irresponsible extraction of petroleum, natural gas, the mining of ores, the overbuilding of cities, and the building of dams. These things are happening now. Sinkholes. Meyer was told in these words, it happens that the earth collapses in on itself because of all these human activities. That's a sinkhole. 1976, it's published in books, copyrights. It's indisputable. There's nothing to argue about, except that people don't want to at all deal with this. They want to pretend, and we want to complain and argue. Fracking is going to, it's more of this destruction to the planet. This is why I want people to start taking a top-down look. Get to the Meyer material, see what they've prophesied, predicted, warned, and advised, and recommended. This isn't all doom and gloom. It's ladies and gentlemen of Earth, we've been through these things. We were stupid enough to have atomic energy, and we lost 43 million people on our planet when little meteorites penetrated into these atomic energy things or earthquakes struck. You've stuck these things in earthquake faults and sea lines, you know, coastlines. Get your head straight. So we have to go to the Meyer material now, because the way out of at least that which we can still get out of is still possible if enough people go, wait a minute, stop this dead-end political nonsense. This one, no, it's this one. No, what are we surprised about? Figure out that this is the story that's being kept from you, and it contains everything below it. All the stuff that we're faced with and the stuff yet to come is already contained here. No one's coming to save us. No one is coming to save us. We've got to do it. We can get help and assistance from Meyer, from this material. It's not held from us. But we have to take the responsibility and go, hey, wait.
Okay, we're down to about 2 minutes, so just this is going to have to do a wrap. But when people want to connect with you, what's the best way? And then what's the upshot of what you're doing right now with the movie?
Sure. Look, the blog, the website, email addresses are there. I answer all emails. It can take me up to a couple of weeks, but I do. I don't mind challenges. I don't mind questions, certainly. I will direct people if they haven't found it already. I have search engines on my website. Search for the terms that come to your mind, see if you can find it. You order my DVD, I give you a free one. Just went and mention Wendy's name. Everything else is free. You don't even have to buy anything if you don't want. We have weeks and months worth of research you can do on research that's already been done, and realize that this is the story. This is what the UFO cover-up's all about. This is what they suppress. And it's not hopeless. There's Meyer wrote a book called The Might of the Thoughts that is the most brilliant treatise on thinking you will ever read in your life. I'm on my fourth reread of it. We can learn. We can do this. But we have to start, take it a step at a time, and clear our heads of all of the other nonsense that has been laid on us. That's my pitch.
Okay, well, and then the question is, if he's the prophet, is there one after him? Have they given a name for that one?
Nope. No more prophets that we have, because we now have all the spiritual teaching and the prophecies preserved during this electronic age. It's here. It won't be corrupted again into religion, and it is freely available. Freely. We can learn out of it. We can learn what's coming and what we don't want to have come up, and what's still avoidable, we can change it to the degree that we start participating.
In other words, we don't need any more. We are self-empowered by this point. And so
we are the one.
Get to it.
Get to it. Yes.
Hey, Michael, it's been a delight. I really, really appreciate what you're doing. You give people a whole lot of food for thought, and you give them some ways to do some background research that they can determine what they believe without being spoon-fed or, harassed into accepting something that doesn't really fit with their reality. So thanks for your time. And again, if you're listening, go to the website, theyfly.com. You'll find out lots of stuff to get you thinking. In the meantime, I'm Wendy Garrett. I appreciate your time and all that you're doing wherever you are. It's always right place, right time, and we're doing the best we can, all of us, to upgrade our ability to be conscious creators. This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Have a great day. See ya.